Well, we just had Minister of Trade and Exports Warren Kading on the show, fresh back from the trade mission to China. And now we just have learned an announcement just made by the province that Premier Scott Moe is heading to Europe for the next 10 days on a pretty important trade mission aimed at strengthening Saskatchewan's relationships with key partners across the European Union. Trip includes a few different stops, Belgium, the Czech Republic, France, and Poland, just to name a few, focusing on expanding trade, attracting investment, promoting Saskatchewan's strengths, especially in energy, ag, critical minerals, and defense. But thankfully, before he heads out on this mission, he carved out some time to talk with us here this morning. I'm happy to say Premier Scott Moe joining us by phone. Premier, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, Evan, on what is a beautiful morning.
Yeah, beautiful morning, although we got a storm coming tonight. So in this province, you never say never. But let's talk about this announcement. Just announced a pretty exciting and important trade mission for our province, Premier. Talk about where you're headed.
Yeah, well, on a number of fronts, I think. We'll spend some time in Eastern Europe, Czechia, as well as Poland. And somewhat connected, but not in Eastern Europe, is Belgium. Connected because it is a port city and it is an opportunity for us to provide some food and energy security to that Eastern European area through that port in Belgium with potash and agricultural products and increasing our exports there. But also on the energy security front, you know, it's all things nuclear in Eastern Europe as they look for a more sustainable supply than maybe what they've traditionally had in a Russian supply. And no better place to look than Saskatchewan for, one, the fuel, the uranium, and two, the Saskatchewan-based technology that we have through Cameco that's based right out of Saskatoon here. So that is part of the mission that we're on. And then we'll be off to Paris for the largest defense trade show on Earth. Over 100,000 people will be coming together. When you think of the industries that are leading globally in the innovation and technology, providing those manufactured goods to our mining and oil and gas sector, it's a very small step for them to participate in the Canadian investment in defense spending and to create those partnerships globally through attending that trade show, which is called the Rosatory in Paris, France. So we'll be off to France at some point next week as well, supporting a new industry or an expansion of an existing industry to every degree that we can.
Let's talk about a couple of points in there. First of all, who's part of your delegation, Premier?
STEP, the Saskatchewan Trade and Export Partnership, and a number of their partners, and I expect a number of manufacturing companies out of not just Saskatoon and Regina, but across the province that are looking to deepen their connections with military defense contractors from around the world and even from those in Canada, because we will be part of the Canadian Pavilion at that defense show as well. Obviously, our significant potash and uranium companies, Cameco and Nutrien, will be part of this as well. But, you know, it is interesting. You know, food and energy security are often things that we all too often in the Western world or in Canada take for granted. They're not taking that for granted in Eastern Europe right now due to, you know, the Russian invasion of Ukraine and some geopolitical, the geopolitical environment that they are living under there. And, you know, this is an opportunity for us to deepen some trade with existing partners and to expand to a few other European countries as well.
What will success look like? Will it be some signed contracts? I know, I think about your recent trip to India where a huge uranium deal was signed. Is that what you're hoping you'll come back with?
Ideally, I think success would look like at least some intentional documents. All signed contracts start with intentional documents, and in India, we started working on that in 2018. Actually, that uranium agreement that Cameco had signed with the country of India. We do have relationships, whether it be through Cameco, Nutrien, and other Saskatchewan-based producers in that Eastern Europe space. And what success would look like would be any intentional documents, whether they be memorandum of understandings or actually deliberate intents to move forward and tightening our trade relationship between any of those countries. companies and some Saskatchewan companies for us to diversify our existing exports, but also for us to deepen that trade relationship in those Eastern European countries. On the defense side, I think this is a new frontier for us. Not entirely new, but definitely an opportunity for expansion when we see the investment that's going to flow in the Canadian defense spending over the next number of years. No better way for Canadian and Saskatchewan companies that already have that expertise to partake in that as well.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest. Let's talk about the defense spending part of this, because I think there are lots of people whose attention has been piqued with some of the enhanced defense spending that this country will be doing. What in Saskatchewan do we have to offer the defense sector, both within our country and potentially on this trade mission that you're headed on?
I think a whole lot. And at first is there's more than this, but really at the at my level of understanding, there's really two levels of opportunities to participate in this as an actual contractor of defense spending, of which we do have at least one here in the province, but then to be a subcontractor in the construction and investment of some pretty specialized equipment. We have a Calian out of just adjacent to the University of Saskatchewan here that is a contractor in the defense spending across Canada and around the world. But we have many subcontractors that help a general contractor like that or a direct contractor with defense build the equipment that they need. And when you look at the expertise that we have, whether it be hydraulics, electric vehicles, autonomous vehicles, drones, and all of the specialized equipment that so many Saskatchewan companies build for our mining sector, for our oil and gas sector, ensuring that those sectors are more efficient and using some of the latest technology in the world. And then these companies in Saskatchewan are providing that technology to other mining companies around the world. It is nothing but a small step to take that innovation, that expertise over to the military defense procurement side. And so we're actively, I think, speaking with whether it be Chambers of Commerce, STEP, other organizations, and directly with some of these companies in this industry. How do we support you in expanding and becoming qualified to partake in the investment that's going to happen in Canada that I would say is crucially important? I mentioned all too often we take our food and energy security for granted here in Canada, and we should not. We also take our very sovereignty and our ability to defend ourselves for granted, and we certainly shouldn't. And so we welcome the increase in defense spending by the federal government, and I think there's a real opportunity for Saskatchewan companies to expand their operations in that space.
Premier Moe, as you head on a trip like this, and there's been a lot of talk, especially with everything going on in the United States and tariffs, lots of talk about portfolio diversification. When you head over to what is a fairly significant trade mission to Europe, is this about diversification or is it about expansion of the exports that we've got going right now?
I would say both. First, the U.S. is our largest trading partner as Canadian and as a province of Saskatchewan. However, Saskatchewan is quite well diversified relative to any other province. We export to over 160 countries around the world. I think there is only about 195. And honestly, some of those we choose not to export to for obvious reasons. So the U.S. is going to continue to be our largest trading partner. There's no doubt about that. And we might even further or increase that trade with them over the next number of years, despite what we hear out of the White House on a daily basis. That being said, we're also increasing the value of our exports. We see new uranium mines coming on, new potash mines, new copper mines, expansions into helium, lithium, the alumina find outside of Tisdale. We're going to expand the value of our exports, and it would do us well as we look at that expansion in value that we try to diversify that to the greatest degree we can. It really creates resilience in the industries and ultimately resilience in the careers and jobs that are going to the families that are going to essentially generate their wealth in these industries for generations to come. And so I think it's both. This is an expansion of our trade practices, but it's also a diversification of that expansion in general. And that's the way that I look at it.
Chatting today with Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe. Last question on this topic, Premier, is let's let's think positively. You hit a home run over there. We signed some intention documents that will lead toward further exports to the EU. Do we have the infrastructure needed? Are we able to get our products over there easily from where we are in the country?
Well, that's interesting, and there's a conversation around our infrastructure to get it to a boat here in Canada, and that conversation centers on often pipelines and oil, but it's also true with agricultural products and potash, you know, whether they're heading to the Port of Vancouver or any other port on the West Coast, and so that's part of the conversation. Once it's on a boat, then when it lands in Europe, how do they actually get it into that Eastern Europe area? And, you know, potash is a good piece of conversation. Uranium and nuclear fuel or nuclear power also, but let's use potash as the example. Our largest competitors when it comes, global competitors in the potash space, are Belarus and Russia. We see Eastern Europe trying to access more Canadian potash for a number of reasons, of which I think we can be quite proud of. That is why we are visiting, for example, the port of Antwerp in Belgium, which is not an Eastern European country. However, they're a port country, and there is some very rapid conversions that we're seeing of ports there to ensure that they are able to access, unload potash in the port of Antwerp and provide not just Eastern Europe, but the entirety of Europe with a sustainable supply of Saskatchewan potash or Western Canadian potash. So there's two pieces to that conversation. One is how we get it to a boat and how we get it from a boat to the end user. And in Eastern Europe, the Belgium port is part of that, as well as some of the conversations we may have in Poland will be part of that as well.
I know we've got short time left here. You're on your way to this trade mission today, but I just wanted to touch base about the oil and gas show. I know you had the entire SAS party team down there for a caucus meeting. I heard your speech that was on the Wednesday at lunch to the crowd. I felt like the energy at the oil show was really positive.
There's a bit of optimism, and for good reason, in the energy industry in Western Canada, including here in Saskatchewan. And I would say we very much are in a moment here in Saskatchewan where we have an opportunity to attract the investment. Two is to actually attract that investment to increase the barrels that we are providing, which are some of the most sustainable barrels of oil that you can find on Earth. And this is an area where we talk about expanding our exports into the U.S. Our largest export is oil, largely coming out of that Weyburn-Estevan area, but also out of that North Battleford, Kindersley, Lloydminster area as well. And we have an opportunity, whether it be through Bridger or South Bow, to actually provide more barrels of oil, create more jobs here to the U.S. But we also have, I think, a very real opportunity, not only through the expansion of the TMX pipeline, but a second piece of infrastructure to the West Coast that are going to narrow the basis and open up the rest of the world to Western Canadian oil and allow us, everyone talks about Alberta and the million barrels that they might be able to increase there, but we have a real opportunity in Saskatchewan to increase by 1 or 3 or 500,000 barrels as well, which would represent somewhere between a 30, 50, or 100% increase to our production. So a lot of optimism at the Weyburn Oil Show. I'm off on spending a day at the Global Oil Show in Calgary before we head to Europe, and I expect an equal amount of optimism there. Discussion, yes, but optimism as well, as we really, for the first time, we're not quite there yet, but we're providing some very real certainty in an industry that has had a 10-year hiatus on certainty due to federal regulation. A little more work to do, but we're getting there. And I think that's at the core of the optimism that I felt in Weyburn, and you were down there, Evan, and I think you felt it as well.
Yeah, we'll have to leave our conversation there. We're at the end of our time, but Premier, good luck with the trade mission, safe travels, and I'm hoping we can check in once you're home, get a bit of a report on how it went.
For sure, and weather the storm well.
Indeed. Premier Scott Moe headed to Europe, literally leaves today on a 10-day trade mission. Belgium, Czech Republic, France, Poland, some of the stops that he's making, including that big trade show that he was talking about, one of the largest defense trade shows in the world that is happening in Paris while they're over there, all part of this trade mission the Premier is headed on. Okay. Open Lines is coming up next. We open the phone lines, the text lines for you, 1-877-332-8255. We can talk about the Premier's trade mission if you like. We can talk about Pierre Poilievre's speech, which I think was a doozy yesterday in Calgary. one of the best speeches I have ever seen Pierre Poilievre give. In fact, I'll play a couple clips of it. If you didn't hear the speech, I think it was phenomenal. How does he keep that going? How does that momentum keep going through the next couple of years and into whenever the next federal election happens? Maybe that's part of the question. We have lots we can talk about. Open lines coming up next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.